Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we are talking about grief. Grief and the awakening process, and grief in the current times we are moving through collectively. And we bring up this topic today as this has been something for me personally that has been an experience I've been moving through that kind of caught me off guard, as it wasn't really something in my own personal life that was transitioning, or I was experiencing any kind of immediate loss in my physical realm. And yet there's been this deep sense of sadness and waves of grief that have been present for me. And as I've tapped into that, really feeling into how this is a part of something larger that we are moving through, and how many of us may feel this in this present moment, or may begin to have these experiences of grief as we continue to move through the world that we're moving through, as lots continues to change. But as we also continue on our own awakening journeys. So we're going to dive into grief, unpack it a little bit for you today, how to work with it, things to be aware of. And so, Amanda, as I just said there, you know, awakenings, you know, grief is part of that process. And for me personally, I thought that grief really belonged at the early stages, you know, that initial experience of waking up to realize new things for me personally. That was about my own mental way of operating grief, of how I'd been living my life under the shadow of my, you know, negative thought patterns, limiting beliefs, and my ego, really kind of coming to terms with that loss of identity, which was, you know, part of the ego death process. There's a lot of grief. And so initially I had thought that grief was really just part of that initial stages of awakening. And for me, I felt that very much in the process of having an ego death and, you know, big loss of identity and way of being. And so feeling this sort of sense of grief now, many years later, it was quite a surprise. What I really kind of felt though this time round was that when I lent into this sense of grief, that this was part of more of the larger collective awakening that we're going through. And for me, when I lean into sort of feelings like that, knowing that this wasn't necessarily something in my own life, I haven't had a loss of a person, job, or anything like that in this immediate moment, that this is something else I'm feeling, so it's collective. And the imagery that kept coming up for me was this real feeling of the world, or the life that we'd been living, or as we had known it, had like totally come to an end. That was it. Was over. And I kept having this sort of visual of like sort of the escape pod from a spaceship, you know, that's, you know, in the movies, it's blowing up, or it's dying, or it's been shot down, and, you know, we're escape in the escape pod, and it's the detach. And that life that we'd known and the way things had been was now over. Like, we couldn't go back from that. And I kept having this visual over and over, and realizing that's very much something that is moving through the collective consciousness at the moment, is, you know, really starting to feel a larger shift that we keep talking about, that we're going through this shift. But I think energetically and in the consciousness and in the collective is this real emotional feeling, energetic feeling of, we have now crossed into new territory, crossed a threshold. And, you know, there's a lot of emotion and feeling that come with that.
Yeah, what you're speaking to, I think it's very relevant to the moment in time. And I imagine that people are experiencing grief and they're not, maybe not even aware of the grief that they're in. And whether one is happy about or even understands that we're going through this shift, we're going through this change, like what all this, what feels like chaos, even if we're doing okay, it's chaos, right? Because there's uncertainty of where we're headed. We're going into uncharted waters and uncharted territories. And even if we are okay with that, like we've known that's going to happen, we've been preparing for that to happen. And so we can see and sense that like this is happening, all the chaos that's happening and uncertainty that's happening, it's for this change that's part of the process of evolution, ascension, new earth, this big shift. But even then, it's like if we're not able to, acknowledge that we are losing our way of being, that we are shedding, like this is the year of the snake, right? So it's like we are letting go of who we are individually, collectively, and that even if we like where we're going, we're happy that we're going somewhere new, it can be a grief experience, a grief process to in a way mourn what was. I think about, before we've settled down where we are now, we were moving around, every 6 to 9 months around there. And every time we were leaving, I was always excited for where we were going. But then there was this sense of sadness because I also liked what was, and it was like closing the chapter of that part of our story. Mm-hmm. And there's like an angst in there as well of like, well, what if it's never as good as it was? Mm-hmm. And so there's like almost a worry, a fear component there, mm-hmm. of not trusting that where we're going is mm-hmm. somehow better than what was. And so it's, we can, cling to what was, or we can just be sad too. It's okay to, it's a healthy process to feel the loss of mm-hmm. what once was. And I think if we haven't been doing a lot of shedding, right? Like maybe one has been clinging to the way things are. If you haven't been going through awakening experience after awakening experience, like it gets easier to change and to evolve and to grow. And so the grief isn't as, it's like you learn how to grieve, right? You allow yourself to grieve. You learn how to feel like, what are these emotions that are want to be felt, this energy that wants to move through me. And that's something that I've, learned in the past, 6 years now, to understand those feelings, like when they come up, and to learn that, like, you mentioned earlier before we got on the call that you're just crying. And it's just like, I learned that about myself too. It's like, I'll honestly going into a movie is, I pretty much cry at every single movie I watch because it's like an outlet for this energy mm-hmm. that I don't allow to move out of me in my normal everyday life. But we're constantly seeing things that warrant a little bit of grief, and mm-hmm. so it builds up within the body, mm-hmm. and it wants to get released. And mm-hmm. even if it's not something that's happening in our own lives, like we're seeing things mm-hmm. from what we're consuming, like we're seeing, and we're like, you shared, you're feeling it, like you're sensing this energy, the people around you, or just you feel that energy. And so I actually think crying is part of the process. And with one more thing before I stop, like when I was in ayahuasca, when I did ayahuasca, I never vomited. I just cried. Like that's how I purged. Like that's how I moved energy. Mm-hmm. And I saw that too. Like I'm a collective purger of grief. And my big awakening came through a big grief process, which maybe I'll talk about later on, but I'll just kind of pause there for the moment because I've been talking for a bit here.
Yeah. And, I think one of the things that you mentioned there, like as we said before we jumped on here, we were talking about my experience. And while this may not be my own personal grief, as I said, there's been no loss of anyone or anything particularly in my own life that's the driver for these feelings just because there's not that apparent. And I feel it should be any reason for me to try to sidestep it. And of course, I did. So I'm a human and we like to feel good feelings and feel comfortable and, you know, not have to go into those darker places or those sadnesses. But what I have come to learn through my own journey is that if something arises within me, it is asking to be seen. And the more I can welcome that experience, the more lovingly and tenderly I can hold it to allow myself whatever process I might need to go through to move it, because there's emotion there. And as you said, if we aren't really acknowledging that, we're building it up and it's going to come to a head at some point. And so, you know, tapping into, lean into, like, where is this coming from? And having this sense of, you know, this is more of a collective that I, you know, energy and emotion I'm picking up on. And then, you know, relating that really to what we're going through, there is some big endings and, you know, shedding going on here. And I did just allow myself those moments to have such deep emotion. And while it wasn't tears for my own life, it was just emotional energy that was in the collective that needed to be moved. And as empaths, that is actually part of the empath's role. Those who identify or, you know, understand that they have empathic qualities and are empaths, that is part of why you are that way, is you are here to feel these bigger collective emotions and move them. And when we do that, we are moving some of that energy out of that collective space because it's looking for an outlet. And we don't need to necessarily understand why. We can just simply allow the tears to flow and the energy to move through our physical bodies. I even found myself, you know, feeling such a deep call to pull back from life and just even conversation. And, you know, my own mind was such a, you know, playing a role in it as well, because, you know, it's feeling these sensations in my body. It wants to make stories about what that means about my own life. And I'm like, hang on a second, mind, no. And, you know, and I was going through like a process of also, I was reading a book by Carl, well, it's not by Carl Jung, but it's called Earth Has a Soul. And it's a collection of his works talking about our connection with nature, modern life and things like that. And, you know, his reflections on how we've disconnected from our connection with nature and, you know, from the earth. And it was making me so angry. So I was going through not only sadness, but I was going through the anger part of like grief. And I was just hating our human history and what we've done. And I'm just like, gosh, this is so interesting. Like, it's coming at me from all these different places. But there's this massive grief process of what we've done to ourselves, how we've got ourselves here, you know, all of it that, you know, we just sometimes have to feel, because, you know, even if it is collective, we have a right. We're able to feel pissed that things have gotten to where it's gotten to. It is of our own human making. It is part of our human evolution. And at the same time, I think grief has the potential for us to once again step into our power and potential. And, you know, especially when we start to feel things like anger at how things have been, and part of that grief process of like, why did we do that? Why did we get ourselves here? And, you know, back to the part about nature, when I was feeling all of these things, I, as I said, stepped back, didn't really want to talk to anybody, and like wanted to tap out of the whole experience of just life there for some moments, which is never something I've ever really felt. I was just like, why? Don't want to do any of this anymore. This is like, I've just had enough of all of it. So I had this just deep call to be with nature and like literally get to look out the window at trees, and it's winter here. So I always find there's so much wisdom in nature, especially at a time of year like this. You know, it is such a powerful teacher for us, nature, that, you know, there is a timing and a process. And I, you know, sometimes feel like it sounds cliche to say it, but it's so true. And it was actually something that really helped to anchor me through this period of feeling grief, was leaning into the wisdom that's around me within nature of timing and cycles, and how, you know, I always look at the trees. We go snowboarding past the trees and the buds are on the end of the branch and it's still covered in snow and it's just waiting. It's not There's no pressure. There's no worry. There's no stress. There's no anxiety. It knows that when the time is right, it will become a flower, or it will be a leaf, or it will grow. And how I can lean into just a trusting in the timing of my own life, that this is here for me to feel and experience in this moment, and that things will change, but they will change when the time is right. So I think that is something else that nature or grief really can help us to remember, is the cycles of life. So that can be something that can really assist us when we move through a period of grief or period of change, is that there is a timing and a reason for the things that we move through.
Yeah, I think about, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, well, you spoke a lot about the different stages of grief, right? You talked about denial, how you're like, then we'll look at it.
Yep.
And then anger and sadness and... What is the fourth one? Hold on. Depression. So bargaining. Bargaining is the third one. And then depression, and then acceptance. And for me and my big awakening journey with my mom, like, I, in retrospect, could see how I went through all of those. And for me, what it taught me, what it showed me, was this relationship with time, right? Where I always believed I'd always have my mom, and in a way I was living with the sense that, you know, life was always gonna, there's always time to do the things that I wanted to do. And so death really changes our, whether it's death of a person or death of a way of being, a death of an identity, it shows us that there is an end date for everything. And when that happens, when we recognize that, we can be more present and live more fully in the now, because we can value it so much more, because we recognize that every moment is a unique moment. There's never another moment like it. We'll never be the exact same we are as we are in this moment in time. And I think when we can, like, for me, it just, I value life more because of my experience with death, and then also my experience grieving. That process for me, I didn't, I isolated what you, like you mentioned, it's like I didn't have a desire to be social. I was really internal, and I was feeling the stuff as it arose. And in the end, I was able to accept the fate of my mom, for my mom, and what that meant for me. And going through that process is such a gift, because it just, you can't see life the same way. You're a new person, like, once you go through that cycle of grief. And so in order to become new versions of ourselves, we have to, something has to die. And you know, we can do that individually, but I think that's what's happening on a collective level. And I think a lot of people are resisting it and fighting it. And so there is a lot of, I'd say it's a lot of anger energy at the moment, a lot of fiery, for whatever they see is happening, there's a clinging to the old. But like you said, it's like that is, I don't know if you said it on the recording or not. Did you, the spaceship analogy?
Yeah. Launching. Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, it's like a lot of people are trying to, like, pull it back, and not maybe there's some denial there that is gone, and somehow we can, not realizing that this change has to happen. Like, there, it has been this dysfunction in our world that a lot of people were just existing with, and you know, not really wanting to look at. And I think for us to go where we're going, we have to begin to see that. We need to, there's like a reckoning that has to happen. And, but there's like a kind of like, I, you know, put my hands over my eyes. I don't want to look. I don't want to see it. And I think when we resist, it just makes it, it's so much harder than trusting that where we're going is going to be better, that we can get through this, that we can grow and evolve through this process of what we're going through. And
yeah, so a couple of things that come through when you say that, and your first part about time and how that really your relationship with time changed through your experience of grief with your mom. Just this little bit, it's also been something that I experienced, which I think I needed. I had a really amazing start to the year. There was a lot of energy and progress. And I was just like, oh, great, I'm on fire. Here we go. And all of a sudden that shifted and it changed. And it's for now, it has paused. And in its place arose this grief. And through the process of sort of this experience and sitting with it and, you know, what do I want to do with this and letting it move through me, it has been this reorientation for me to time, but also my focus, because it really highlighted for me how I have often a very laser hyper focus on the work I've got to do and, you know, the purpose I'm here for and like making it a reality. And that can sometimes, or not sometimes, it comes at the cost of other parts of my life, my relationship, my health, my self-care, all those sorts of things. And so what I realized is that, you know, something that's come out of that, really realizing how in that moment I'd started to become really hyper-focused on this once again in my life, was this actual understanding of how I'm actually, you know, ignoring other parts of my life. And that this one thing that, yes, I do have a burning desire to create and expand and to grow, is only one part of my life. And so, you know, this feelings have asked me to step back, because I've wanted to tap out of all the things, because being hyper-focused on my business gets me very mental, and it was starting to get really noisy in there and like not a place I wanted to hang out. So I was having a, like, I don't want to even deal with your mind. Get out of my face. I literally didn't want to deal with my own mind. Media, people, whatever. So everyone, get out of my space. But in doing that, what it really helped me understand and see was, you know, I did this bit of sort of zoom out and step back and realized that, you know, all parts of my life are important. And it's really opened up this space for me to go, I really need to and want to embrace whatever is present for me now. And, you know, part of what happened for me to say that was that my dad's come to visit for a month, and that was sort of a last minute thing. So that changes my time, relationship to time. Doesn't mean I can sit and hyper focus on my job all day or the work I want to do. So I've, you know, really wanted to let it go and realize, you know what, if he's here, then this is a beautiful opportunity to be with him. And then if my life wants to take this course for the next month, that's where it's going. How can I really take my hands off it? And it's been such a liberating and expansive process or experience to let go in that kind of way. And words that you always say is, you know, our missions and our purposes, they're important and they're not important. You know, it's like, it's sort of in that middle. It'll happen. Like I've got to, it's again, this timing and allowance of divine timing, nature's timing. When that's ready for that to grow, it will grow and I'll do my business. But for now, you know, our lives, we've just got to show up for what is and what is present for us. And the idea of the year of the snake, it's an energy again, as we've said in a couple of our other podcasts this year, that there are energetics that we're moving through, and this one is also one. And I was thinking about how grief really is part of that, you know, shedding of our identity of what life was, you know. And when a snake sheds its skin, it's not just like slipping into some water and it's just gently washes off, right? The skin doesn't just gently and softly come off its body. It's sliding along the ground, finding abrasive or rough surfaces to help it like peel this old layer off. And I thought to myself, well, yes, there in some ways I am going through a shedding, because what's also circling back into my life at this time, which is sort of, you know, getting me out of sorts, is old situations, old conversations, old people from challenging times in my life are circling back in. It's been years. This is part of the awakening again. Our growth isn't linear. The path isn't linear. It's a spiral. We keep coming back to these things. And I realize, okay, well, here's another layer of like shedding, you know. And it's uncomfortable to be around some of these people again and to be back in these conversations and to bring up the past in new ways. And you know what I mean? Like it comes into conversation and we want to avoid that. But how we show up in these new experiences, as these new versions of ourselves, is us doing that shedding of the snake skin that we're letting go. You know, in that discomfort of facing those things again, having those difficult conversations, you know, it's like the sandpaper that helps us, you know, shine more as this new version of us, stand in that new version of who we are, to really let go of that old. And life is providing us with these opportunities to, you know, rub up against rough surfaces, rough situations, discomfort, to begin to choose to shed the things that we are here to shed, layers of us, layers of ways of being, thought patterns, all of it that we're really being asked to let go of.
Yes, I like that analogy of the snake and the abrasive surfaces. And I think I just had that thought this morning of like, there's a circumstance where I'm like, I don't really want to address it. And then I had the realization, I was like, no, the circumstance is here because I have to do it differently. Mm-hmm. And I'm not meant to take the easy way out and avoid the difficult conversation, as you so. Mm-hmm. Astutely mentioned. So there's another confirmation there for me. But yeah, I think we don't, these opportunities, the circling back, it's all an opportunity for us to show up in a new way, in the current version of ourselves that has gone through growth. And as you were talking about, you know, you were going strong at the beginning of the year, a lot of fiery energy, and then all of a sudden, you know, that stopped, that paused, and now you're dealing with something else. And really, it's like along the evolutionary, we're not just going to go, you know, up, up, up. We're in a new place now. It's like, okay, there's some stuff that we have to deal with now that we're in a new place. In order to keep going, we have to pull out some of the weeds, let go of some of the tears. Yeah. So that's part of the growth journey, is things are going to resurface or surface for the first time, so we can let those things go. Something that a cool or interesting vision that I had in a ceremony with ayahuasca was I saw some extended family members, or one in particular, who a larger person, and I saw that there are people that are like carriers of the grief, like the lineages, like they've inherited the grief, they take on the grief, like very empathic, and I saw that the physical, like the tissues are holding the griefs of the ancestry. And you know, the one person in particular is like, does a lot for their family, a lot of people, you know, but the purging is not happening, right? They're just like taking it in mm-hmm. it in. And so, I think acknowledging that recognizing that, like, we that's what we do. We store this energy within our tissues. And so we can have this liberation of energy through, you know, physical experiences, through, and it can be old stuff. It can mm-hmm. be ancestral stuff. And so the more that we recognize that, the more that, you know, and if we're doing anything like somatic work or any like ecstatic dance or anything that's like moving energy, actively moving energy, it's like, there, we are storing things in our body, and we're here to, like, we can actively do things to begin to release some of those things, but we can only do it so quickly, right? Like we can only, you know, it's like we release, we normalize, and then, you know, we keep going, and then, oh, it's time for another release. And so, yeah, I think it's both we're releasing a lot from the collective past, but we're also dealing with what's present as well. And so Yeah, that's all I want to say on that.
Makes me think about, you know, something that we learned through our energy guide program about, you know, who we are as energetic beings. And I'm probably going to butcher this, but, you know, energetically, we have our own energetic structure within our energetic bodies that is like a matrix or is a matrix. And it is defined and characterized partly by the things we have learned, come to be programmed with, influenced by as we grow up, part of our culture, part of, you know, the collective, the larger world that we exist within. And because it is breaking down and changing on an energetic level, that affects our energy as well. So that is in part why, you know, this energetic structure that we hold as what we're attached to breaks, this breaks down. That's why, you know, things like grief can come up out of nowhere in our everyday experience where we're just like, well, why am I feeling this? Because we are energetically going through a process of change, one we can't necessarily see, but it is one that we definitely feel emotionally, even physically, physical symptoms. But, you know, as you were saying with like moving energy, you know, this is part of that is exactly we may not be fully conscious of what's energetically shifting and changing in us. Our job is really just to recognize what does arise. And as you said, it's in some of these changes energetically in the structure that we hold that ancestral things can be unlocked to be felt and healed as well. Because as you said, many of us carry through our DNA the traumas of the past. And this is, you know, a lot of what the trauma work does involve. It's not only our own traumas, but ancestral trauma passed down the line is stored in the DNA. And as that we are evolving and as we are ascending and going through our awakening journeys, that is changing and shifting and awakening and moving. And so there can be moments where we're tapping into things that are beyond what is even ours. Our job is just to move it through, to find the tool and the practice that helps us to do that. And it's interesting, my own personal experience of, you know, moving energy through my body that was attached to emotion was when I was doing yoga teacher training and we had to do this hip opener pose. And I'd never done it before. And, you know, you've got your hips really wide and it's called frog pose. It's quite an intense pose. And as I settled into the pose, I had this like experience of this wave of energy that kind of came up from my hips, up the front of my body, up to my head. I also had a sensation of color. It was this sort of dark red and brown, like muddy water just rush up to my head. And the energy moved and then I could not stop crying. It was such an emotional release through my body of like, I had no reference point for it. I wasn't sure what happened and I couldn't stop. It was just unlocked all the emotion. We say, you know, in yoga, they say it, we store a lot of emotion in our hips. You know, energy gets stored and stuck in the body. And so, you know, at a time like this, and if we're moving through grief, move the physical body. Yes, cry, move the body as well. If that incites an emotion, just move that through you. We don't necessarily have to understand why or unpack it all the time. Just the allowance of it being there, acknowledging it lovingly and giving it space to be processed is a powerful healing tool, just to let it move through you. We don't need to make meaning of it. And that's just our mind wanting to make sense of our experiences. That isn't totally necessary for our own healing. It's just energy that wants to move, especially when it's collective. As we said, that's part of us doing a larger role of just moving energy, moving it out of the space, lightening that load so something else can be held in there or experienced and felt.
Yeah. You know, as we are, part of my journey has been to move out of my head, right? And in order to heal the stuff, we do need to, I think, transform our relationships to what the role of our mind is playing. And so when we get to the point where we don't need to have an explanation for this energy that's, you know, I think it's very shamanic in a way, the practice of moving energy and not needing to assign labels or explanation. And yeah, and for me, the really cool experience that I had was with doing traumatic release exercises. And that's like, it's tremoring. And basically you get your body into a state where it just tremors on its own and it releases and it goes where it wants to go, and mm-hmm. it releases that energy. And it's very similar to that wave that you spoke of. Mm. And it's different every single time that I did it. And there's so many cool ways that we can move energy that I think if people want to start, or, you know, if maybe you're already doing this, but doing things that can help you get out of your mind space for a while to see what it's like to just be, right? Because we're the mind, you know, it's a very doing process, right? And when we're in the body, it's allowing what is to be. And mm-hmm. I think that goes along with the whole acceptance mm-hmm. of grief is mm-hmm. allowing what is to be versus trying to control. Yeah. Like, I think that all the processes leading up to acceptance are very controlling. Like we're trying to make things different than what they are. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a part of the process. You know, we read that book, Letting Go, right? Mm-hmm. Part of the process of the awakening is also recognizing that we don't really control this where this ship is going, this like collective ship that we're on, right? We can kind of influence things, but we kind of have to just let go of gripping things tightly. And I think if we're suffering through the grief process, we're still holding on. We're still wanting to not let go the old way of what was. And, you know, we're allowed to be there. Like, we can choose that. And it's useful and beneficial to allow those stages to happen as they are going to happen. And also, sometimes we can get stuck in those stages as well, right? Like, we can stay in anger for longer than what is beneficial for us, but also maybe that's part of what we chose as well, is staying in anger for that time, but recognizing that we can eventually make a choice to let go of what we are gripping onto so tightly.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said all of that too, you know, I feel like like you said, the first four stages, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, all mental, right? We're in our heads. We're trying to rationalize it. We're trying to work our way through it and, you know, process it mentally. And then when we come to acceptance, we just allow ourselves to feel, to release and let go and, you know, integrate the loss so we can find a way to move forward.
So for me, what I loved about acceptance is I realize that there's beauty in all of life, right? There's the joy and the sorrows. I went to, when my mom was sick, I started going to this church, this Unitarian Universalist church that she had wanted to go to. I started going just because I was like, oh, well, she had this desire to move where we were and go to this church. And so I started going, and they did this thing that was really cool, was people would get up and speak and share either a joy or a sorrow. And at that point in time, I was like pretty afraid of speaking in public. And I was very, very emotional. Like, I couldn't, like, I'd cry all the time. And eventually I was able to get up there and share. But what was so beautiful of that witnessing of people sharing the joys and the sorrows is that there is all of it is beautiful. Like, people sharing a sorrow and having this community of people witness them and be there for them and send them love. Like, that's beautiful. Even though this person is going through something really hard, it's also, mm-hmm. there's beauty in that. Right. And then mm-hmm. also, of course, there's beauty and joy as well. And so being able to hold all of it is what I think where we can get to through the process of grief. And so mm-hmm. that's what I think, number, the Gene Key 28 is in my profile, and that's all about totality. That's about seeing all aspects, this life journey that we're on, and having space for all of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what that grief process really showed me, is that what's on the other side is like this immense gratitude for being here, for how things worked out. You know, even when my mom died, it was like I had gratitude for that things didn't happen differently in terms mm-hmm. of like our relationship. Like I could see like how it was magically orchestrated the whole journey. And so even in tragedy, there are gifts mm-hmm. and like if it's our, it can be a job for us to begin asking, what are the gifts in this experience? What are the gifts of me going through this and experience this? And a lot of the gifts we don't get without going through that process. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's easier to want to like bubble wrap ourselves and not have those experiences, but the gold is on the other side. And I feel collectively there is going to be gold on the other mm-hmm. side. And, mm-hmm. but it's just really rocky as we let the old
yeah
go off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, as you say all of that, it made me think that grief essentially is something we feel when we have a loss, when there is something being taken away, an identity, a person, a way of being, life as it was. So, you know, grief takes away, but then grief in its taking away creates space for the new, you know, and we don't know what's in that new, but we must acknowledge and go through that grief process first to come to the place of acceptance, to be open to what's new. And I really saw that as to like, you know, grief is an awakening journey because we go from the human part of suffering and loss and anger. And, you know, I mean, if we look at our levels of consciousness, we're down there in that pain and the human experience, which is completely valid and part of what we came here for. Mm-hmm. And as we move through that, we open to, you know, the part of our soul and we come into acceptance, we come into possibility, we tip into courage and we're like, you know what, this is making us stronger. What we've lost, what we've been through, and no longer being that, there's a rebirth and a renewal that happens through allowing the grief process and allowing all of those emotions to be felt and have their totality to move into a place of being able to be open to the new. But by being open to the new, you're open to, feels for me like the soul aspect of us that holds the gold that you spoke of from the journey that we go through that feels so challenging, you know. And it's sort of like, you know, dark always precedes light, night precedes day, you know. It's also again in nature, it's part of the cycle. Sometimes it's dark, sometimes it's light. You know, the challenge I think for us is as humans, we just don't want to feel the bad bits, just want the good bits. And so at a time like this when the world feels like I don't even, like I said, never watch the news, but I just keep getting these glimpses and I'm like, oh my god, it's gone to shit, you know, people are saying all kinds of crazy things and someone blowing up the world. But it's part of this process of, you know, this pure potential that's on the other side. And so I think all of that is to say is it's okay to not be okay right now and to not feel your most fabulous self sometimes. And also it's okay to feel your absolute fabulous self at times like this. So you don't have to feel grief. You can feel like this is, you know, the ride of your life. No experience is invalid. It's perfect as it is. Just that if you have your dark moments, you don't need to fight them. They are part of your awakening. They're a part of your human process. It is powerful and helpful to move through it and feel it and experience it because there is, everything is a lesson and it all happens in the timing that it's meant to happen. And you spoke to of like the gifts that come from the grieving process. And, you know, I kind of said it before, but the gift that I've got out of just this little bit that I felt is actually embracing my life in its fullness, not compartmentalizing it and saying, oh, I'm going to focus on this part of my life, you know, 5 days a week, and then this other large chunk of my life 2 days a week, you know, in terms of like my business for 5 days, and then the rest of my life in the evenings and the weekends. It's like, it's all here for me to experience, every single part of it, the parts that feel fun, the parts that don't feel fun. I'm here to have all of those experiences rather than just seeking pleasure and, you know, or wanting to avoid the hard. Like that isn't what we're here for. It's literally just to be present and centered for whatever arises, whatever experience wants to come. It's exactly as it should be, and allow ourselves to feel it. Feel a sense of curiosity and compassion and openness to, okay, now it's this. This is here for me. This is, it's here, I honestly believe, because we're ready to see it, feel it, process it, be with it, move it. We can deny it. We totally can. it will just wait for us to come back again until we're willing to see it. And we can go bit by bit, or we can just dive in and feel it all. I think it's important to know that, you know, even when the emotions that come up feel overwhelming and strong, they do pass too, if you allow yourself just to experience. And if you can find a way to do so without the mind, potentially that's, you know, breathwork practice, TRE, the trimming that you spoke of, simply just crying and letting yourself cry without having to have a meaning for it. That can be a powerful way to allow what wants to move, because we don't need the stories. It's energy, it's emotion that just wants to be felt and moved.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the more tools that we, the more ways that we learn, the more connected we are with our energy is going to help us. And then another thing that I was thinking about is how, if we don't have some sort of connection with something larger than us, I imagine for those people, this time is really hard, because it probably feels very existential in terms of like the direction, the trajectory that we're going. Like, how do we get out of this one? I think those that have a connection to something greater, whether that's even like Jesus, it's the universe, some concept of like the bigger picture of why we're here and what we're doing this for. I know for myself that, like, as I started to recognize that this life is not random, that my experiences have been somewhat orchestrated by me as a soul, and the experiences that I'm having, I came here to have, the hard ones, the easy ones, you know, all of it. I came here to experience it. When the more that I have come to see things that way, the easier the hard bits have become.
Yeah.
And maybe those that are struggling, and you know, maybe what's happening is it's going to continue to get worse and worse until people begin to acknowledge or wake up to that we're more than, you know, organisms here having a random experience. There's no interconnectivity to us and the planet and the greater solar system and galaxy. Like, I think, you know, they talk about ET contact and how it's like they're not going to come until we're able to hold that, right? Like, that for a lot, for many, that's still very out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and that they could be benevolent beings, right? Because we're so programmed from our programming that, not to say there might not be non-benevolent beings, the fact that there might be some beings out there that are supporting us in this journey. You know, that's not even something that many people consider as a possibility.
Yeah.
And so anyways, but my point being is that I think it continues to get seemingly worse because it has to, essentially, in order to wake enough people. So, you know, I trust that there is an acceptance at the end of this downward spiral or a rebirth right after this death that we're going through. And so for me, that's how I'm able to see what's going on and say, oh, this is very interesting. It's a very interesting time that we're living through right now. Yeah. And also I've done a lot of work on my own nervous system and connecting with my own nervous system and my own energy, to where, yes, it's chaotic and I'm not having an internal roller coaster by looking at the outside roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, it's just the process we're going through, and probably more, I think it's like 2030. It's like, we're not even going to look back and recognize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Life. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think 2027 is like the actual tipping point. So we're not even there yet. So that actually makes me think, you know, like two things. You know, you said the trust. The trust is a big piece of this process. How do we trust more? Because that came up for me this last couple of weeks. It's like, you know, even seeing where I can dial up the trust more, and I already have a sense of connection to this greater force, God, universe, whatever you want to call it. I do trust that, but I realize I could do with a whole lot more. Like there's more I can trust. And I think that really is embracing that everything is happening the way it has, it should, it's meant to. We are part of this experience. We wanted to be here as souls for this. How can we just meet what arises day by day? Because that's really all, that's the presence piece. You know, if you're having a great time, have that. If you're feeling emotions, feel them. You know, especially at a time like now, so much is changing so quickly. Just be with yourself day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, with as little judgment as you possibly can. Just let it be. Move through it. Do what you need to do with it. If it's asking you to heal, heal. If it's asking you to retreat, retreat. If it's asking you to have the hard conversations, have the hard conversations. It's all a growth process. It's happening quickly and slowly at the same time. And I think too that, you know, it is taking care of yourself. Like you said, you've done so much work to work on your nervous system to be able to feel a sense of groundedness and within the storm. Learning to do that, what do you need to do to be able to feel real resourced within yourself to feel calm? Great meditation practices, movement practices, somatic practices, time in nature, literally, and I know this will sound crazy, but like talk to the trees. I sat in the onsen a couple of weeks back. There's this one tree that I look at from the outdoor onsen and it's just so big and covered.
What is it? Onsen?
An onsen. So the hot thermal baths here in Japan. So you go after, well, you go any time of the year, but it's great after snowboarding.
Yeah.
And there's an outdoor one. So I was sitting outside and there's a rock actually in the outdoor pond. I don't know why, but I felt called to put my hands on the rock and I was looking at the tree and I had a massive emotional release. But the tree, it's so big and it's like big piles of snow on it and it's just strong and sturdy and unbothered. It's just patient and knowing, you know, like just look at a tree. It's got so much wisdom it can share with you in this moment that can just help you as a being of nature, feel okay with what is, you know, and I think that's the big lesson. It's just learning to be okay with what is. Things are changing. Things will always change, always change. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's not. Like we've got to just learn to dance with life in that way, knowing too that with that sense of connection to something greater, we are moving through an evolutionary process to something better. And so you taking care of yourself is a massive part of that. You know, easing ourselves into that new that's coming. You know, it's that's where our power lies once again, is taking care of ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah. Well, I had a question pop up. I don't know if it's even related to this, but it is sort of related to this. But being in Japan, do you just feel like, yes, you feel the energy, but do you feel like cut off from what's happening in
I feel like I live in a massive
much of the world
bubble. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Cause yeah.
No, go ahead.
Where
sorry.
I live up here in a very small mountain village. I that just feels like that's some bad dream that I tap into every now and then when I wake up, because I mean, it's so quiet and peaceful and calm and like,
well, and they have practices of like forest bathing and onsen.
What? Onsen, yeah.
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 Or it just like it feels so like there's practices and cultural aspects of Japan that have maintained themselves throughout the changes that have happened in the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, for better or worse, right? Like there's always like a downside to culture.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of upside to like health, the healthy food in Japan and the natural connection to nature that so many of us are disconnected to. And then that makes us so much more susceptible to the fearing and, you know, wrecking our nervous system, allowing our nervous systems to be so hijacked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a nature is deeply woven into the culture here. It's beautiful. It's, you know, I think it's the Shinto Buddhists. I might have butchered that too, but they worship the sun, the mountains, and they believe the gods are in nature. But everything is seasonal. You know, the seasons are so distinct here that we adapt season by season to the things that happen. And I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but they observe 72 micro seasons in Japan. And so it's literally, you know, every 4 to 5 days, the seasons have this incremental shift, even in the winter, of like what type of snow. And like as we get into the end of season, like different layers of the earth are thawing, and then certain trees start to bloom, or certain bug will arrive because it's that time of year and you can literally watch it out the window. Like you're observing nature and the shifts week by week, day by day. And like, oh yeah, that bug's here. That one's having babies. This bird's doing that. Like it's this beautiful observation of nature. They're constantly, especially where I live, like in summer, they pick mountain vegetables. It's a huge thing. And, you know, we eat them through the seasons and the food changes year by year. And the decorations they put out in front of stores is either spring, autumn, summer, winter, and, you know, cherry blossom festivals and all of it. But it is, it's deeply tied to nature within the religious beliefs and the culture that it is such a calm, grounded place to be. People don't get hysterical. There's, you know, there is, as you said, a cultural, there's downsides to things like that as well. And it's not perfect, but it is. It does. Sometimes I feel like I live in some alternative reality. And so when I feel things like this grief that is not present in my world, I'm like, well, where's this coming from? And, you know, so it's something out in, you know, a larger collective that is present. And I never really know how much to what's really going on out there, you know, because I do. I feel like I'm in a little bubble.
Yeah, I see your videos of you snowboarding. And like when I used to snowboard, it's like you feel like you're amongst the mountains, like you're anything that's going on in the outside world, it's like it's not relevant at all. When you're out there.
Yeah.
And you know, the concept of grid workers, right? As far as people going to certain places to, whether it's to affect the earth or have the earth affect us there, it's probably both, right? Mm. And so just imagine your different experience where you, you know, say in Australia, for example, like our environment, like, I remember when I left the United States and went to Costa Rica, like, and I went through like a detox and being able to really see how the energy of my environment had shaped, was like, had played into my mind without me realizing it. And then I went back to the United States for 3 months and I thought I wasn't being affected by it. But then when I left again, it was like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the energetic grid, like we're, you know, plugged into that. And so for those that, you know, feel called, that's something that Vanessa had really introduced to me, was the idea that we're not necessarily meant to stay where we are born or, you know, if we feel called to go somewhere, there's probably a reason why. And, and so I think part of, maybe this is kind of getting off tangent a little bit, but it's related. Like the taking back our power is recognizing that we don't have to stay in an environment that is adversely affecting us. Mm-hmm. And so part of like a big part of my journey has been removing myself from an environment that did not feel energetically nourishing to myself in order for to feel more nourished in my life. It's kind of like you have to leave the toxic soup in order to heal. And so, recognizing how much our environment does play a role in the energetic environment is contributing to what we're experiencing, this grief that we're experiencing. Back into the grief.
Exactly. And that a change in environment can support you to move through this great time of change in a way where you can tap into that feelings, more of those feelings of resourcefulness, trust, especially if you lean into messages where it's saying, get out of here and move here. You know, that's a big lesson in learning to trust and deepening that trust. That's going to help you feel more grounded. Yes, a move is unsettling and there's probably going to be grief in that, but that's part of the process. But it can be really a powerful thing to move yourself to a place that supports you to, you know, have an expanded awareness, expanded sense of self, space, safety, presence, all of it, because there's more to come. There's a lot we're going to experience. As you said, 2030, we're going to be, you know, it's said we'll look back in this decade of time and it's just a time warp of change. So, you know, it is about prioritizing how we are taking care of ourselves to move through this and, you know, what are the ways that support that? So that is one of those ways.
Yeah, one thing I just want to add related to what we were just talking about is that someone that I follow on Instagram, his house burnt down in the LA fires. And he said he lived in LA for 40 years. And now being without a house, in a way, it's created, it's released him the need to stay there. And so I imagine there's tons of grief in losing his home. It's in a way, potentially, I don't know where he's going to go or what he's going to do, but in theory, it's liberating him from maybe something that was holding him back from the life, the direction that he's supposed to go. And, and so that's like, you know, a quick way to see how something that does cause a lot of grief can actually be a gift in our liberation process to become more of who we are here to be. And, you know, we can expand that on a greater scale to like what's happening right now. It's essentially supporting us in our collective liberation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example. Amanda, thank you for your conversation today. It's great to have. Thank you everyone for listening. Please leave your thoughts, comments, feedback, experiences. We'd love to hear them. And we'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.